Brother Eugene Clark. One time they asked him if he had butterflies. He said he had big as buzzards. I'm not going to tell you the rest of that. This is my message. Before all you brethren got through walking all over it. But I do have something written on the back here. Brother Gary Phillips, I helped him pack his car a few minutes ago. His mother's real bad, and they had called him and told him to come. I guess maybe he called you. But he told me to tell all your brethren that see you when he could, love you, and pray for him. So we truly appreciate the conference. We've been to every one but one. And that was 94. My wife had cancer, and she had surgery in September, and then she started chemo in November. And you know anything at all about that, you know that's a bad trip. But we appreciate the conference. And we appreciate this church. Appreciate Brother Asbury and confidence in us, and I've got two or three things mixed up here, but we'll get it straight in a minute. I had a message 2 weeks ago that I really wanted to preach. You've heard that 3 points in a poem. My brother Downs mentioned that. Well, I had one, and I even got the poem, but Lord didn't see fit to give me the liberty to that, and I know I'm just talking here for a minute till I get straightened out, but I know most of you don't understand that, and you preachers do, I guess, and but we do and are thankful for the conference. We've been coming to Kentucky to conferences for 35 years and been to this one since number one. We really are uplifted by the conferences, and we hope that that means something to you, you folks that put the bills and do the work and make it so wonderful for us. And so it's a great blessing to us, and I preached Sunday night at our church Thanksgiving anyhow, because I believe that we ought to be thankful every day of the year, anyway, anyhow we can, for the wonderful goodness of Almighty God. And so we're thankful also for God's confidence in us that He's called us and put us into ministry. And we don't take that lightly either. I'm thankful also for, and I want to say this, I'm thankful for godly women. I don't think they get near enough praise. And I'm thankful for my wife. Married 50 years this year, and she's never disappointed me. That's a wonderful thing to say. But she is truly a helpmeet. 5 years ago, the year after she had cancer, the Lord, I resigned the church that I was in, and I felt it was the Lord's will. And boy, I was going to have a ball. I was going to travel around, preach at all these churches, you know, and just enjoy it. But God didn't see fit to give me that either. So He called me to Northeast Ohio. We were 64 years old. Had lived in Michigan for 60 years. It's not easy to move after 60 years. But God gave us both grace, and she never complained. And we've been there 5 years now, and God is blessing. And we appreciate all of that. We do miss Brother Harvey. I don't know how anybody in the world could not miss Brother Harvey. The great good friend of mine. And I remember the year before he died, I told this last year, I guess, but anyway, it was last summer before the conference. He came to me at a conference and shook my hand and he said, "I appreciate you, brother." You don't know what that means. So I hug you folks when I meet you, tell you I love you. Nothing wrong with that. Because I do. And so those things are things that stick in your mind and lift you up. I'm glad to see all you folks here from that have traveled. Most people don't get the blessings of a conference, you know. And I hear people talk all the time about the good old days. This is as good as it gets. It don't get any better than this. And so we appreciate all of you. Brother Harvey's favorite song is Thrills Me. He included me. I've never got over that. I've never got over the fact when I understand what it means by the Scripture, He included me. And when I think of all that He left, when I think of how He left heaven's glory, and He came down here and was born of a woman. And the Bible says that being found in fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for me. Oh, the love of God. Loved me when I was unlovable. And while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. If you can think of all of those things and multitudes more. And I'd ask you a question tonight. Same question that God asked Adam in the garden. Where are you? It's designed to make us realize for ourselves where we're at. Where are you at in relation to God? Where are you at in relation to the times? Where are you at in your feelings and emotions? Our son, and I can't say enough about that, but I have two sons, both been preaching a lot longer than I have. You've heard that story. I was perfectly content to be a deacon and help support them and pray for them and all of that. Almost as much agony in that, though, as there is in preaching. But nevertheless, I have my oldest son is pastoring in Plant City, Florida, and you heard my middle son preach Monday night. And as much as the Lord will let me be, I'm tremendously proud of him. But I'm proud of him, the Lord. It's him. It's all grace. I know people that raise their sons or their children better than me. And I don't know why. But I'm glad. But I'm happy at all that is involved in it. And I wouldn't change a thing about it. And so, where are you at? And are you happy? Are you happy? I know conferences bring out a particular kind of people. I mean, you have to love the Lord. I tell people, even as a preacher, you know, I say, "Oh, I'm going to be gone for a week." You know, "Oh, where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to a church conference." "Well, what do you do? Do you, what kind of fun do you have?" You know, and I said, "Well, we sit and listen to 6 or 8 sermons a day and for 3 or 4 days and have a lot of good fellowship and see a lot of folks that we've missed for a few months and all that." And, you know, most folks don't understand that. Most church folks don't understand that. But it's wonderful, isn't it? It's like I say, it's as good as it gets. But we're thankful. And we do want to preach a message here in a minute. And I've been stirred up. And we need to keep stirred up. We need to go home and keep stirring the pot, because almost any kind of recipe that's any good needs kept stirred up. We need kept stirred up. The Lord said in Peter over there, he said, "I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." That's what we kind of want to do a little bit tonight. And so, first of all, we want to talk about Romans 1:16, the gospel. The gospel. You can't hardly have a message without thinking about the gospel, about talking about the gospel, because that's part of our Christian experience. It's the very beginning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the writer said over there, Paul, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Why in the world? And I've never been able to understand this. When I hear missionaries talk about, well, if I don't have a movie, I can't get a crowd. Or if I don't have puppets, I can't get a crowd. But what's wrong with their experience? What's wrong with their remembering what happened to them? And I can remember just like it was yesterday. I can close my eyes and see that little church and where I was sitting when that gospel was preached. I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place. And anybody that can't do that, I've got suspects of. Because if it hasn't happened to you, if it happened to you, you know where and when and how. And you know how to tell what little bit you have to know. The gospel, the power of God, and 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about the gospel. And we want to read just a couple of these scriptures in introduction to some of these things. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, almost all preaching is testimony of experience. And that's what I want to kind of do tonight. So in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." It's only one. There'll never be another one. And there'll never have to be anything mixed in with it or added to. And Lord help us if we take anything away from it. "But the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." That's it. "Standing on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Amen. Have you received it? Do you know Him? Really? Can you say, I'm sure in a crowd this size there must be some that have never trusted Jesus Christ, never repented of their sins. I like what Brother Down said. He said, you know, he says, you'll never repent without the Spirit. Amen. And you'll never be saved without repentance. I don't have much use for any preaching that doesn't include repentance. Amen. And so, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Amen. I don't have much use for people that don't believe the Scriptures. Amen. I say this, and I hope you understand. This is all I got. Amen. I don't want anything else. This is all I need. It's all I want. But it's the whole thing. Everything that's happened, everything that's going to happen, is going to happen according to the Scriptures. Amen. There's no accidents with God, and there's nobody going to catch Him off guard, as it's been said. I wasn't an accident. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you weren't an accident?
Amen. Amen.
Saved on purpose. And that makes us understand a little bit more. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. I'll tell you just a little bit, or we'll get into just a little bit what we're talking about. If I was going to put a title on this message, I would say, what it means to be saved. What it means to be saved. And we hope that when we're done, you will rejoice or be able to rejoice with some of the things that we mentioned. But chapter 1 and verse 1 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Now you've heard me say, probably if you've heard me preach more than once, you've heard me say that I used to say, you know, people I worked with and that, they'd get on me about, we'd be talking about the Lord and that. And they'd say, well, you just want everybody to believe like you. And I used to say, no. But I do. If I've got the truth and I know the truth and it works, then I want everybody to have it and have what I've got. And this is what I've got. That you may also may have fellowship with us. Isn't it wonderful what we've got? How wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And truly, it just gets gooder. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never find, I don't think you'll ever find anyone in this world that'll do that. I've got a wonderful brother. But there's a lot of months that we're apart. There's never a minute, never a second that Jesus and I are apart. Not one second that I can't say, Lord, help me. That's what it means. This is the beginning of what it means to be saved. If you're here and you're not saved, then we would invite you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason He came. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're not saved, you're lost. You must be born again, the Word of God says. You still must. There's not a person in the world that you can't say that to. You either must be or you must have been. The only thing. The only thing in all the world that give you hope of heaven. Can you just, doesn't it really boggle your mind when you think of all the false religions that are giving people all different kinds of false hopes of security, of heaven and relationship with God, and they don't work. They can't work. Because God says there's only one gospel. And so it's with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We're not going to read the rest of that, but there's some good stuff following that. You know what it means to be saved. What it means to be saved. If you're saved, and you're born, Brother Jones, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that say they're saved that are bored. I mean, they come to church and they do everything in the world. You talk to them, oh yeah, I know I'm saved. I love the Lord. But you'd never know it by watching them. You'd never know that they enjoyed any of it. You'd never know it by watching the rest of their life. They're unhappy in church. But what it means to be saved is an invitation from God. An invitation to miracles. You need a miracle? I believe in miracles. Because 52 years ago, the greatest miracle for me that ever happened in my life.
Amen.
When he reached way down. And he lifted me up and he set my feet upon the solid rock. Do you know, he didn't just leave me there. He established my going. He establishes the going of his children and his people. And you know how he establishes the going? He establishes the going according to the Word of God. Thy Word, O Lord. And it ought to be happy. I mean, it ought to thrill us to know that this great God that sent his own Son to die on Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood that I might have life, has given me a word. It's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. That's not only that. It's quick and powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Holy Spirit is the best surgeon in the whole world. And he knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it. Come unto me. All you. Brother Jones the other night, as he walked all over this message of mine. But you know, the Lord says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. And so I thank all you brethren that used all the scripture that I intended to use. Because you can't wear it out. No matter how many times you open that book and look at it, it says the same thing and it ought to thrill your soul. It ought to lift you up. I like that song. You know, he keeps lifting me higher. Did you ever walk on water? I mean that. Being saved is an invitation to walk on water. All you got to do is ask the Lord. That's what Peter did. He said, Lord, let me do that. He said, come on. We can walk on spiritual water through the leadership of this Word in being indwelt by His Holy Spirit. You know what? There's so many things. Being saved means that you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. I've got Him in here. That leadership and that comfort and the guidance. He said he'd lead me into all truth. I wonder sometimes. Don't you wonder about people? Never have any peace. Never seem to have any leadership. Never seem to have any comfort and strength. Come on to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's an open invitation. Over and over and over again. So I think of these things. I say, Lord, can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. And yet, you know, a lot of people, it makes them contentious. Makes them argumentative. And all that. I want to read to you a couple of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Being saved, being really saved, reveals unto us the goodness and greatness of God. Makes you forget all about me, I, and mine, and what I've done or what I could have done. I stood condemned to die, but Jesus took my place. You think about that? Now look at this 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want, before I go into a little bit further on this, I want to read this and maybe get you to think about this for just a minute. But 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? How are you any different than that fellow out there in the ghetto or in the gutter. Who maketh thee the difference? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? We're not be holier than thou. I'm not any better than anybody else. But I know one thing. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. So if we think about this, what it means to be saved is to be thankful to Almighty God for what we've received. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Not just the gift of His Son was the first. But if you're saved, then you can realize all of the many other things that God has given us. And how that He has worked. How He brought you to that place of salvation. How He intended it. And then after you're saved, you can look back. And that's when you really understand you're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah! Isn't that glorious? I mean, I don't preach that to lost folks. I don't mention it to my folks too often, except in times like, you know, I want to lift them up, encourage them, and exhort them. But you just think, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. When you read over there in Revelation and you think of the books being opened, you don't have to worry about it. My name's written down. I don't have to wait till that book's open. I know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because He told me, He put it there. And His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Those are all gifts of God. We'll show you a few more in a minute. Thanks be unto God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Then we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended, He said, if I go away, He said, I'll send another Comforter. Holy Spirit convicts of sin. You ever been convicted of sin? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow, that's a gift. Can't work it up. You can't stir it up in the flesh. But after you're saved, you can stir it up and then it always feels good. Amen. Gift of the Holy Spirit. I'll send another Comforter. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You say, well, I know I'm saved. I believed. Couldn't have believed without the gift of God. Oh, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And you can go on through this book and you just add them up, and you just pile them up. And they're everyone wonderful. But what it means to be saved is to realize all of that. And if that doesn't thrill you, you're not... As somebody said not too long ago, you're not thrillable. I don't know if that's a good word or not, but that's what it means. But I want to show you a few things tonight. I believe God is sovereign. I believe He's Lord. And so in the next 7 or 8 minutes, I want to mention 7 or 8 things. Well, it only gives me about a minute for each one of them, you know. But listen, if you're saved, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you're not saved, the only one thing you need to understand is that you're lost. Amen. God is sovereign. He is Lord. And He will. Everything absolutely will
be according to His will.
I love to preach on the will of God. Romans 12:2 says that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
You need to prove that in your life. Colossians 4:12 says that you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's important. That means be right with God. Be in the right place with God. The Bible is God's Word. That's a good gift, isn't it?
The Bible is God's Word. Where did you get it? Where did the world get it?
You can look back historically and you can see
where it came from.
But it came from God. The Bible is the Word of God. It tells us all about God and God's creation and all those things. And I don't have time to repeat a lot of these scriptures. But you don't have to do anything except believe by faith that the Bible is the Word of God. I could give you hundreds of scriptures and it still wouldn't prove it if you didn't believe it.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's God's design. Please God, and that's a gift too, but to please God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. Read Ephesians chapter 1 and you see all those things that God just piled up all around, one on top of the other. God, there's not an I in there anywhere. And so as we look at this just a little further, and we'll emphasize this, salvation is of God.
Amen.
We already mentioned, but God didn't owe us anything. Still doesn't. God created man in His own image and man sinned. Disobeyed, rebelled against God. You can call it anything you want to, but he did what God told him not to do. And you know, that's still as great a sin as anything you can do, is to do what God tells you not to do, or to do what God, not to do what God tells you to do. Sin. That's what caused Adam and Eve to die spiritually. And that's what caused you and me to be born dead spiritually. You must be born again. Absolute. Not debatable. Not arguable. It's not open for any kind of human consideration. Ephesians 2, 3 and 4 says that we all walked in sin, but God. But God intervened. Brother Jones, I preached last year on God butted in. That's right. But God, who is rich in mercy. All these things. You know, there are those that say, just do the best you can and you'll be all right. I don't know who mentioned it. I think it was this morning. But you might as well walk right up face to face with God and slap Him in the face and tell Him how dumb and stupid He was for sending His Son to die on Calvary's cross, if the best you can do will get you to heaven. God knows the best that you and I can do is as filthy rags in His sight. All of our righteousness is. God knows that, and that's why He gave us all these things. He gave us. That's, isn't that wonderful? People say, well, I don't have anything to be happy about, or I'm, what in the world do they understand? We ought to be the happiest people in the world, and we ought to be walking about 10 feet off the ground all the time. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Now that's almost humanly impossible to understand. I can't understand it. But I believe it because God said so.
Amen.
And God don't lie.
Amen.
You may not believe me, but you better believe Him.
Amen.
So that all this, you know, just do the best you can. Isn't that silly? when the Word of God says the best you can do is nothing. And the reason that He sent His own Son was because the best that we can do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Dead. Condemned already. Do we not understand that? You go out that door and most of the people you'll meet, and some in here I'm sure, are condemned already still in trespasses and sins. Oh, the wonder. The wonder of what it is that we have access to. I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
I couldn't say this. I used to read it and didn't fully have a full realization of it. But I read over there where it says, I was young and now I'm old. And I can testify to that. I've never seen God siege go hungry or begging bread.
Amen.
He's absolutely always taken care of me.
Amen.
Sometimes when I didn't know how. But I want about two or three more minutes. I want to mention these things. Sacrifice for sin is God's.
Amen.
Yeah. Book testifies. As Jesus walked those miles to be baptized of John, John looked up and he saw him coming. He said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The gift of God. Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and goats could not always satisfy God's sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ can.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? And without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. What do these religions do that don't have any shed blood? The blood must be shed. The blood must be applied by faith to individuals' heart and life through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice is God's. And as I read over there in Revelation, and I see over there about where they say that they were sorrowful. There was nobody worthy to open the books. But he said he looked back and he saw a lamb standing as it had been slain. Same lamb. Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that wonderful? Glorious! We've got that, you and me. Somebody mentioned this already, so I'll just go on over it. But sheep are God's.
Amen.
We're not independent sheep.
Right.
I'm one of the Lord's sheep. And He claimed me one day. Did you know something that ought to condemn a whole lot of people? They say, oh, I love the Lord and I'm saved and I'm this. And then they go about and they teach for doctrine the commandments of men and everyone does that which is right in their own eyes and all of these other things. Contrary to the Word of God. They'll say they're a sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They follow me. Are you a sheep? You better take that to heart. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Not our own. Bought with a price. The church is the Lord's. We need to remember that. The church isn't ours. We're part of the body. We're placed in it by God. 1 Corinthians 12, it says that the Lord places in the church as it pleases Him.
Amen.
That's not the big universal church.
Amen.
God places in the local, visible body of baptized believers as it pleases Him.
Amen.
How many times you talk to people and they say, well, I'm looking for a church. They ought to be looking for where God wants them. Because you can't just join any church and be where God wants you to be.
Amen.
You got to be put there, a lively stone, fitly framed together by God. We ought to fall on our knees and say, Lord, where do you want me to be? Give me some leadership. And I'll show you in 2 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You say, where are we going to get all this leadership from? From God. He leads us by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. Godly counsel.
Communion of the Holy Spirit of God.
Chapter 9, verse 2, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. The world doesn't hear any of this. The world has no idea. All the world can look at is on the outside. All the world can look at is what goes on. The world come in here and they wouldn't see anything that they would want or enjoy or like to have. So eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But if we love Him, He has called us and saved us and revealed some things to us. Look at verse 10. But God, who hath? God has. I didn't get this worldly knowledge. I didn't get it because I've been saved 50 years or 52 years and all of a sudden I know what it's all about. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You want to get deep? You can't do it without the Spirit. You can't even get shallow without the Spirit. You can't get nothing without the Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You'll never know anything by worldly education or worldly wisdom. Go to school for the rest of your life and you'll never understand one more word of the Word of God. But by the Spirit of God. Verse 12 says, now, and I believe, isn't that what, that's now. Now we, right now, in this life, today, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't that wonderful to know the things that are freely given to us of God? That's what it means to be saved. To have access to the knowledge of all these things. And the reason for it, he says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so on. But if we look at these things, then we will quit. But the commission to the church is God's commission. And it's to His church. It's not to all these worldlings that's out there or these world organizations. They have no authority to go and preach the gospel. And you know, don't that sound bad? That sounds hard, doesn't it? You say, boy, you think you'd just be overjoyed at all these people out there preaching the gospel. They don't have any authority to preach the gospel. I don't think they'll reap the harvest of preaching the gospel. I know God's word won't return on them void and all that. But I also know that His commission is to the church. It's God's commission. And it's God that promises the harvest. You know, He doesn't tell you and I, and you have to read that right, He doesn't tell you and me to send laborers to the harvest. He says, you pray unto the Lord of the harvest that He'll send laborers.
Amen.
I thank God for those that are willing to go.
Amen.
And willing to preach and all those things. Ordinances to the church is God's.
Amen.
They're His.
Amen.
They're not ours. People say, why should I be baptized? That's the ordinance God gave.
Amen.
You can't be in the church without it. You can't be part of the body without it. You can't be a church member without it.
Amen.
Scriptural baptism.
Amen.
That's one of the biggest biggest, what is it that sticks in people's craws, you know? They don't like that. Oh, I felt the need for baptism one day, so I had another student pick me out and baptize me and all this other stuff. You just got wet.
Amen.
Not bad. Gifts of God. Understanding the gifts of God will cause us to eternally rejoice.
Amen.
My rejoicing is never going to end. When I've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, I'm still going to be rejoicing that He sent His Son.